you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying because I'm about there right now.
We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
Happy spooky season, friends. Kathleen here, and it's time to get you in the mood so you're properly freaked out for the Halloween season. Bethany, Sam, and I have collected some of our favorite past scary stories for you, our taste buds. Grab some blankets and a flashlight because things are about to get spooky.
This is legitimately scary, and I was kind of freaking out just reading this email. This is from our listener, Chris, and he says to us, "Do you remember your dreams when you wake? I certainly do. Are your dreams ever so vivid you have trouble telling where the dream ended and reality began? I have been left at times to wonder. As a child, my father's work would take him away from home for days at a time, leaving me and my mother alone in the house. When I was very small, I would sometimes sneak into my mother's room and sleep. Late at night while my mother slept, I would curl up on the other side of the bed and suddenly I was aware of a spectral figure watching over us. The figure would float along the ceiling on the far side of the room watching over us. And sometimes it would just land in the corner. Although the figure was not fully formed, it always felt like a male presence was watching over us. And I would just lay in bed in the dark watching him, watching us. The figure would never appear when my mother was awake, only when she was sleeping. Then, sometimes when I drifted off to sleep, I would feel myself slipping away from my body and joining the figure on the ceiling. From that vantage point, I would watch my mother sleep and look down at my own sleeping body. At times, the figure would even cradle me in his arms as if he was holding me up so I would not slip down. Now, even 30 years later, I find myself filled with a peculiar combination of creepiness and comfort as I recount my story to you. Was it all real? Was it a product of a young, overactive mind? I will let you be the judge."
All right, this is from Allison. "Hello, my favorite ladies. I know you're looking for some Halloween stories. Let's see. Okay. It's me skipping.
Sorry, it's a robot story. Beep boop.
All right. "Over the summer of 2016, my boyfriend and I spent a weekend in Gettysburg. We both love ghost hunting shows. Sup, Bethany. Sup, girl. And decided to find and go on a midnight ghost hunting tour. The tour was actually really cool. We went to 3 different locations in Gettysburg and got to use EMF detectors as well as dowsing rods. The last location we went to was in the woods behind their high school. These woods are apparently really haunted, like everything else in Gettysburg. There's a story of a woman named Rachel who was looking for her husband and waiting for him to come back from war. Rachel unfortunately met her untimely death in those wars during the battle. It's said that you can hear her calling her husband's name and crying in those woods at night in the darkness. We were coming to the end of our ghost hunt, and the guide wanted to close out with the Our Father prayer just to be safe. I'm not religious at all, and in my head I thought, oh yeah, this is really going to help against a ghost or evil spirit. While he was saying the Our Father prayer, I started to feel a burning sensation on my back. I screamed and jumped back from our circle and immediately lifted my shirt in the back for my boyfriend to look at. I have very long, very red lines along my back. The guy told me that I had been scratched by a spirit. That night, I did not sleep, and my boyfriend and I believe that Rachel even followed him home because for weeks he always felt like someone was watching him. Got to the point where I went and got sage for him to sage his house. Since then, he has not felt any presence. Oh. Make of the scratches what you want. It's an experience I cannot explain and sometimes wish I could forget." Sam.
I don't want to.
You have to.
That's not true.
You are contractually obligated.
Yes, you are.
Great. Megan Lynn. Thanks a lot for whatever you're about to do to me. Okay. "So a few years ago, my family lived in a haunted house." No, I'm sorry. This is not the sentence you start the story on.
One of us.
"So a few years ago, my family lived in a haunted house. When we first moved in, I was the only one to notice anything scary. I would hear voices calling out my name at night. At first, I thought it might be my sister, but then she would tell me it wasn't her. Then I started seeing a little girl appear at night by my desk. She wouldn't do or say anything. She'd just stand there. One night, I was trying to sleep.
That one's on you, Sam. You chose this
it
bed.
Is. This is my bed. Bringing down the voices. One night, when I was trying to sleep, something tried pulling my foot. I don't remember it very well, but I remember it tugging at my foot for just a brief moment before it stopped. No one was in the room. I had been telling my family about what I had been experiencing, but they didn't believe me. Then my dad and I were standing in the kitchen where no one else was home, and we heard a crash come from my parents' room. So we went to see, and my mom's camera was sprawled out on the floor. There was no way it could have fallen like that by mistake. A few days later, my mom started telling us about how she was getting locked out of the house. She would go into the backyard to smoke when no one else was home. But when she went to go back inside, she'd be deadbolted out of the house.
Oh, that's awesome.
This happened twice. One night, I was sitting on the couch watching an episode of Doctor Who when out of the corner of my eye, I saw a man sitting on the couch with me. When I turned to face him, he was gone. So I calmly turned off the TV and went to bed.
That's what you do.
How do you go to bed?
You have to.
How do you act calmly?
Oh my gosh.
One night when my sister and I were both at work, my parents were staying up waiting for us to get home. They heard the dog start barking, so they thought we were home. Then they heard a voice telling the dogs by name to shut up, and we weren't home. The next day, my dad thought he saw me walk down the hallway toward my room. He asked my mom if either me or my sister were home, and we weren't. Those were all the major experiences, but overall, there were very weird, dark feelings in that house. My theory is the little girl was an evil spirit, and the man was a good spirit, and they balanced each other out. When one overpowered the other, that was when the activity would happen. Ever since we moved out, nothing has happened in our new house. We don't know if the current people who live there have had any experiences, but I know my sister and I would love to find out.
Who's that from?
Megan Limlumis.
Megan, yeah. That's amazing.
Oh, man.
Sam is crumpling up your story, but she's doing it with respect.
Pause for a second.
Yes.
You guys are sitting on your couch.
Yep.
You're just watching TV. The volume's on, not all that loud. And there's pounding on the front door.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Nothing. I hide.
I'd immediately also call 911.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what else to do.
Yeah. Run, and then I would hide, and then I would call 911.
If it's a spirit, you're screwed. It doesn't matter what you do, you are screwed if it's a spirit. It's whatever they want to do. And if it's a person, I'd be too afraid that they could see someone's home by me covering the peephole lights.
Yep.
Like, just the change of light for them would mean, oh, somebody's home. The best thing to do is hide. Like, I wouldn't try and look out the window.
Never look in a peephole. They can tell.
Wait, what?
Because there is the change. If you're on the outside of the peephole,
yeah,
especially if there's a light on inside, when you look, when the person looks into the peephole, you see that light disappear, so you know their head is there.
So have to pretend you're not home if it's a real person, which is who you're supposed to be most afraid of.
Then why do peepholes even exist?
I don't. They're a flawed system
for takeout.
Alright guys, this one comes from Kayla. Here's a true story for you, she writes. My aunt and uncle bought a house in upstate New York and they moved in with their four kids. They started noticing some freaky things going on. The first thing that was odd was that their German Shepherd would not go into one of my cousin's rooms.
Bad sign.
He would stand in the doorway and growl and snarl and look into the room. Then the walls would start to weep in the same spot. The spirits in this house were becoming very attached to my one cousin. It was like she would get in trouble for something, and then something strange would happen. The last straw was when my aunt grounded my cousin for something and sent her to her room, and my aunt went down into the basement to finish the laundry, and the utility sink, which was rusted and dislodged from the wall, pinned my aunt to the other side of the room. That was it. They sent my cousin to stay with my grandmother, and they don't talk about it much anymore.
Wait, the walls were weeping?
Yeah, wouldn't that be the last straw?
Okay. They sent my cousin to stay with my grandmother, and they don't talk about it much anymore. But the first night that my cousin wasn't there, they swear that for an hour, someone was ringing the doorbell, and there was knocking on all windows in the house.
Oh, my God.
And it was like someone was running around the house, knocking on the windows, faster and faster and faster, running faster and faster and faster. So my aunt and uncle sold the house, and it ended up getting turned into college housing. The first crew that moved in were guys, and they didn't have an issue, but the second crew that moved in were females, and a bunch of creepy things immediately happened when they moved out.
I don't know who this is from, but I love it. Here we go. After college, my twin sister and I decided to move back in with mom for the summer. Smart financial move, by the way. My mom lives in a home built in the 1800s in a small town in Vermont. Growing up in the house, we always heard noises we couldn't explain and creaky floorboards that my mom always blamed on the house settling. Nothing ever really spooked me until my sister and I had moved back in. One afternoon, I was laying down for a nap in my bedroom, which is located at the top of the stairs on the second floor. At the bottom of the stairs is the front door that leads to a porch. I heard footsteps leading up to the door and started to get up. I then heard the screen door open and the heavy front door creak open. I was startled and jumped out of bed to see who was walking through the door. No one was there, and both doors were closed. I ran downstairs to investigate, and nobody was home or had come home. The next day, I was upstairs in my bedroom, and I heard footsteps walking up the staircase leading to my room, and I heard what sounded like an old recording of music and a guy whistling. I had no radio or TV on, and when I walked into the hallway, there was nobody there, and the music had stopped. My sister's room was on the other side of the hallway. She had also experienced some activity. One night, she was sleeping in her bed and felt someone sit on the edge. She would sit up and then not see anything. She claims to have had this happen multiple times. She also had a dog that would always be afraid to walk to a certain corner of her room as if something was there he didn't like. He'd often be found standing in her room just staring into the corner. No danger came from anything we heard. It just spooked us a bit. We actually named the ghost. Oddly enough, we both came up with the name Henry without consulting each other. We didn't find it odd. My mom calls it our twin thing. We're always copying each other unknowingly. One afternoon in the early fall, my mother, sister, and I were cleaning out the garage in preparation for winter. My mom had come across some old letters, handwritten in barely legible cursive. The date of postage was 1924, and all signed from a man named Henry.
No.
I just got chills.
No.
I just got chills.
No. All right. Hey, Danielle. Let's see what you got.
Growing up, my family and I were in and out of homes a lot. Some of those houses we lived in while newer, while some were older. One house in particular was older and was located on its own dead-end street. Yes. It was house number one, and it was the only one on the block,
which was strange because
I'm going to smack Bethany in the face.
Kill, that's not what it says.
Which is strange because it was surrounded by a development of houses. Lots of spooky things happened on this dead-end street. One moment that will forever be embedded in my head took place on a Saturday morning in summer. I had just woken up and was pretty tired. I saw the light coming from in my window, so I knew it was morning. Slowly, I sat up and was getting ready to put on my TV. But as I sat up, I saw a little girl, maybe 5 or 6 years old, sitting at the edge of my bed. She was just looking at me, and she had short, straight hair with bangs. She was wearing a striped t-shirt with pink shorts and white sneakers. I will never forget this image. I quickly buried my face into my pillow and tried to wipe the image away. When I looked back up, she was gone. I tried to tell myself this was a dream, but deep down inside, I knew it was too real to be a dream. I still remember the girl's face and the way she sat on the edge of my bed, and I will never forget her. The second freaky moment includes my sister. She had the bedroom on the first floor, so her window looked out at the driveway. My sister was getting ready to go out with her friends when she heard a beep. She looked out the window and saw a car. In the car sat a girl who was looking in the rearview mirror to fix her hair. She looked quickly and had assumed that this was her friend picking her up, so my sister got her things and headed for the door. When she stepped outside, the car was gone. She called a friend to ask what had happened, and her friend said it was never her. She would be heading out shortly. We never knew whose car it was or who the girl was, but my sister swears she saw someone out there. The final freaky incident includes my same sister and my mother. My mom and sister had been complaining about a banging at night. Our upstairs hallway was long and the floor was wooden and creaky, so you could hear it even if someone was just walking to the bathroom. The noises they were hearing were from the hallway. They often thought it was my middle sister coming home late at night. The noises went on for a few weeks and they eventually stopped talking about it because they didn't want to freak the rest of us out. One night, my sister, who's the same one who saw the girl in the car, was in the kitchen. She heard the bangs and walked over to the bottom of the stairs. When she looked up, she saw a little girl running from my sister Lisa's bedroom door back to the stairs. She ran back and forth twice, and my sister said, "Lisa, what are you doing?" She realized it was not Lisa. She went back to the kitchen and back to the stairs, and the girl was gone. She told my mom the story the next morning, and my mother said, "Stop. Don't say any more. I saw someone, too. Write down what you saw, and I will do the same. We'll compare and see if we describe the same person." Sure enough, they both wrote down the following: girl with long black hair and a white nightgown. Needless to say, we moved out shortly.
Okay, guys, this one. Oh, shoot. Did I leave her name off of it? I left her name off of it, but I left in the opening paragraph where she says she's from North Idaho, from this town called Coeur d'Alene. Okay. There you go.
France in Idaho.
And she goes on to explain that all the celebrities are flocking there. And I just saw photos from Julianne Hough's wedding in Idaho. And I was like, oh, I wonder what's going on in Idaho. And then she's like, I'm from this town. And Julianne Hough just got married here.
Kathleen, focus. This is Halloween.
So I'm sorry. Anyway. I would like to find myself in North Idaho.
If you can make your scary stories somehow intersect with page 6, that would be amazing. Yeah.
Okay. So here's my scary story. In our early 20s, my best friend and I rented a house in our downtown area with another girl. It was an older house and it was kind of funky, but in the middle of everything in town, so it was perfect. And we were of newly legal drinking age. It had an unfinished basement where the washer and the dryer were supposed to be, but they didn't have any units there. So there was no reason for us to go down to the basement. Over the next few months, when we were at the house, the light in the basement always seemed to be on. And it was a bulb with one of those pull chains, and it had a switch at the top of the stairs. After talking to each other, we learned that no one was turning on this light. We made a pact that we would never, ever, ever touch it. Yet the light was still on almost every day.
Rock and roll.
And I was constantly turning it off. There were so many other random things that happened in this house. Our top cupboards in the kitchen, they were very high, and they always seemed to be cracked a little bit, and water would randomly run in the bathrooms when we weren't there, and the door to the basement was always cracked. So we all just chalked it up to it being an old house, but it still made us pretty uneasy. One night, I had a guy who I'd recently met. He was staying over, and my room was upstairs, essentially the attic of the house. And I was just about to sleep when he sat straight up in bed and he said, "I have to leave." Being a little startled and confused, I was like, "Did I do something to turn you off?" I asked him what was wrong. He said that there was a little girl standing in the corner looking at him, and it made him uncomfortable.
Bye!
I thought that he was just making this up so he could leave. And I asked him, "Seriously?" And he said that he always had a strange connection with ghosts and that they would attack him when he was little. And he was super uncomfortable staying in the house and he wanted to leave. And he described her and pointed to where she was standing, but I still couldn't see anything. So he left and I didn't say anything to my roommates because I was just really embarrassed. A few weeks later, my BFF and I had a falling out and we all moved out of the house very suddenly. And then after a few months, we all got together and we got dinner to make amends and we started talking about the house and how it was definitely haunted. Turns out they were experiencing the same things that I was, and we never said anything to each other. My one friend said that she did see a little girl darting around corners and standing in the corner of the room like that guy, and she described him exactly like he described her: black hair, with a dress just standing there. And I was totally freaked out because I never told her anything about what he said. And I instantly felt bad for not believing him for leaving. And we tried to do some research to see if anything bad happened in the house, but we can't locate anything.
Hi, ladies. This is Anna from South Dakota, originally from Wisconsin. Shout out to my fellow cheesehead, Bethany. What's up, Anna? This is my 100% true scary story. I grew up on a small farm in Wisconsin, which happened to be located across the street from a cemetery. Rock and roll. Oof. My friends and I spent a lot of time walking through it and looking at the old graves or conducting seances in an attempt to connect with the spirits. We were always disappointed when nothing paranormal happened.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
I know, me too. I was never frightened of the cemetery until one snowy night in January changed everything. My father worked overnight shifts at a factory, so at 7 p.m. he kissed us all goodbye and headed to work. The snow had just begun to fall as we watched the taillights of his truck disappear down the dark country road. My siblings and I had school in the morning, so I brushed my teeth and went to my room, which was located on the first floor. My curtains were open, and I could see the cemetery across from the street slowly turn white as the snow began to fall harder. I was startled awake by the doorbell ringing. I sat up and looked at my clock and saw it was after midnight. I sat there trying to figure out if I had been dreaming when the doorbell started ringing again. But this time, it rang several times in a row as if someone was frantically pressing the button. Nope. I realized my curtains were open and the front door was right next to my window, so I quickly left my room. I ran into my mom, who was standing in the living room looking just as confused as I was. The ringing stopped suddenly, and we both quietly stood there staring at each other. All of a sudden, we heard loud, aggressive pounding on the front door. It went on for at least a minute. My mom ran for her phone and dialed 911. We were both too afraid to look outside and see who was there, so we sat in the windowless laundry room while we waited for the police to arrive. The pounding abruptly stopped, and all we heard was a deafening silence. The police arrived a short time later. By this time, there was at least 2 inches of fresh snow on the ground. My mom explained to the officers what had happened, and the officers proceeded to check our yard and other surroundings for the culprit. They figured someone had maybe gotten stuck in the snow and was looking for help. A short time later, the officers came back and told us they found some odd footprints. They explained that the footprints began across the street in the cemetery, but they didn't seem to come from anywhere. The officer said the footprints just appeared in the middle of the cemetery and continued across the road, up our driveway, and straight up to our front door. The officer then showed us 2 large boot-shaped footprints directly on our front step, which they believed belonged to whoever had been pounding on our door earlier that night. And this is where the footprints ended. There were no footprints leaving back down the driveway, no tire marks in the snow that indicated a car had been there, just the footprints leading from the cemetery up to our front door. The officers checked the inside and outside of our house again, but found nothing. The next morning, I walked out of the house to catch the school bus and looked over at the footprints from last night. I noticed there was a second set of footprints right next to the first set. The second set of footprints came from the cemetery and up our driveway, just like the first set, but instead of going to our front door, they went directly up to my bedroom window. I walked over to my window, and that's when I noticed the 2 smudged handprints and a forehead print on the glass left behind by whoever was looking in my window the night before.
No. Absolutely not. Oh. Okay.
Oh, Anna.
I don't like you at all, Anna. Why you do this to
Anna.
Me?
This one is from Savannah. She goes, my grandma and grandpa's house is haunted AF.
I like how you're trying to make that scary.
There was always weird things that would happen in the house. For instance, when I was 10, I stayed with them overnight. And I slept on the couch, which was across from the room that had a door to the basement. I was woken in the middle of the night by the basement door opening. I opened my eyes and saw a little girl walk downstairs.
Yep.
I got up and went to look down the stairs, but there was nobody there.
Savannah, never investigate.
Would you guys go follow a ghost down into the basement?
It's never a little girl. girl.
Savannah, you know, come on. Come on.
When there was no one there.
Bethany's prosecuting on her podcast.
When there was no one there, I figured that maybe I was just seeing things. I stayed over again, and the same thing happened, but this time I got a better look at her. She was small, and she had her hair in pigtails, and was wearing a knee-length blue dress. I wasn't afraid of her, though. She seemed like she was just lost. I asked my grandma about it the next morning, and she told me the girl's name is Allison. The street that the house was on was actually named after her. Allison was killed when she was 7, and she had been playing on the train tracks behind the house when the train came. Her father found her and took her to the house and tried to get help, but she died in the house. She wasn't the only ghost, though. In 2006, my grandpa was murdered by a man believed to be his best friend.
Jeez.
Holy mackerel. At the time that he was murdered, my grandma and grandpa were separated at the time. But this happened a few years after he died. I again was staying the night at my grandma's house, and I felt somebody touch my face and say they were sorry.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
I opened my eyes and no one was there. It didn't feel like Allison this time. She never touched or really interacted with anyone, and I got up and I walked down the hallway and I stopped dead in my tracks because I saw my grandpa pass by my grandma's doorway. I told my grandma the next morning, and she said that she had felt him kiss her and that she saw him walk back out of the room.
No!
Oh my gosh.
It's oddly comforting knowing that my grandpa is still there. I feel his spirit there sometimes, and I've seen a lot of ghosts in my life, but thankfully none of them have ever been bad or threatening.
Everyone has a the last straw moment in these. What would have to happen to you to be like, this apartment's Felicia, I'm leaving, goodbye? Like, what?
It would have to be very obviously an angry, like, I reach for a door and it slams.
Yeah. Okay, so you were door things, like getting kept out of something.
Yeah, or like potentially... Or
objects getting broken.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
I have not been able to sleep. A what?
Mirror fear.
Oh, yeah.
Like if I close my medicine cabinet is a mirror, and I'm not kidding. Every time I open it and go to shut it, I'm like, if someone is standing in the shower behind me, I am very calmly... leaving.
You're noping out.
I'm getting an Uber an hour and a half to my parents' house and they'll have to figure this out later.
Yeah. That's my thing. Yeah, if you see something, what was I watching? I've been watching so many scary movies that I sort of wonder. I was watching one that purported to be I think it was a documentary because I looked some stuff up and it was actually real. But there was a woman who said she was pregnant living in this house that's very super haunted. And she was so pregnant, she was having a really hard time turning over and in bed. And she was used to seeing sort of this maid kind of just walking around, but the maid never seemed upset. She was sort of just always like hurrying up and down the stairs. And so as she was trying to turn over in bed, all of a sudden this maid shows up and says, "Do you need help, dear?" And the woman was just like, "Yep." And the maid like took her hands and helped her turn over and then was gone.
This maid that doesn't, what a nice spirit.
It's that kind of thing I'd be okay with.
That would be my first straw.
This is from Krista. Hey, ladies. I will start out by saying I'm a skeptic, but I swear to you, the story is true and beats out all the other stories. I like how Krista is like really into the competition of it.
She's like, I don't believe in any of this, but this one.
This Happy Halloween, one. I win.
We'll make you a believer.
My letter is the best letter of all the letters. Okay. Our old house in Wisconsin was built in the 1920s. I also lived in a house in Wisconsin that was built in 1920s. I hope it's the same one. Right after we moved in, I started having nightmares almost nightly. They always involved my 2-year-old son's bedroom, which happened to be right above mine. The dreams always involved a little girl who was playful, not scary, and a scary man who was always in black and you could never see his face. I didn't think anything of the dreams because I just thought it was my mind getting used to our new house. Over the next few months, we had several friends over who also had little kids. Despite all of the toys being upstairs in my son's room, the kids would never play up there. They'd go up, then come back down and tell us they didn't like being up there. One time I had a new friend over, and my friend and I went up there to keep the kids company. I'd never told this friend about my dreams involving the room because I thought I'd sound ridiculous and I didn't want to scare the kids or put thoughts into their head. It was the middle of a sunny day, the curtains were all open, and my friend turns and says, "Does this room give you a creepy feeling?" I just shook it off. Never shake it off.
Unless
FYI.
You're Taylor Swift.
Just don't ever shake that off. Okay. Within a year or so, my son started waking up at 1 a.m. every night screaming. One night, I woke up to hear him crying as usual through the baby monitor, but I could also hear giggling and movement coming from his room above me that were not coming from him.
Nope.
I froze.
Nope. Get out.
Then I heard my son say, "Leave me alone. I don't want to play."
Nope. Nope.
So despite being terrified, I ran up there to see what was happening. He said the little girl keeps pulling his blanket off and trying to get him to play. And the man in the corner is scaring him. I was never so scared in my life as I realized he was describing the little girl and man in my dream. Again, I'm a skeptic. I tried to rationalize in my mind how on earth he was describing my nightmares that he'd never heard about. I tried to assure him that it was just me and him in the room and there was nothing to be afraid of. He then said, "So you mean there's no man standing right behind you?" That was the beginning. I just got chills. Uh-uh. That was the beginning of letting my son sleep in my bed. We sold the house as soon as we could, and I have not had any of those nightmares since. My son is now 8 and still remembers the man and little girl.
This comes from our listener, Abby. About 3 years ago, I was dating a guy whose parents lived in a house that was built in the late 1800s. They had an awesome deck, and they were always up for splitting a bottle of wine or 10 bottles of wine on any given summer night. Once I was in the bathroom, and while I was peeing, I looked up at their clothes hamper. Standing in front of me was a young girl in a white nightgown, and she was staring. I blinked my eyes so hard, she was still standing there, and I blinked again, and then she was gone. I washed my hands quickly and got the hell out of there, but still accredited the vision to the amount of wine I had drank that night. However, when I brought it up at breakfast the next morning, my boyfriend's mom said, "Oh, yeah, she's in the hallway all the time at night."
No.
Years ago, my family and I used to live in a 2-bedroom condo in a very nice town. Having 2 small children in the house, I had to work a lot. I worked off hours, the graveyard shifts, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. to pick up extra time. Occasionally, my wife would tell me she hated sleeping alone. I didn't pay much attention, as I thought it was because she was lonely. One day, she confessed that the reason she couldn't sleep and was paralyzed with fear was because someone or something was watching her sleep. She admitted she would lay as still as possible and try not to breathe loud so it wouldn't hear her. She said she would sometimes see a man's shadow in the corner or a ball of light. Nothing fully formed, but enough that she knew it was there. I thought this could have been a creepy neighbor somehow getting in. I looked in the closet and indeed found a small hatchway, but had to move mounds of clothes packed to the ceiling to get in the space. I was able to, but it was beyond impossible for anyone to get in and out without waking her up. Since I wasn't a believer, I couldn't see any reason for what my wife was seeing and dismissed her sightings as anxiety and stress of being alone with a small family. She eventually stopped talking about it and life went on. We sold our condo soon after to a nice couple and went on our way. It wasn't until 4 months after I received a call from the couple to let me know I had mail and asked if I could pick it up. I thought this was no big deal and made arrangements to pick it up at the condo. I was invited in, and as proud owners, they wanted to show me the place. After the tour, I thanked them and began to leave, but the mood became serious, and I was asked to take a seat. Here's what happened next that changed my mind. The husband started his conversation like this. "I don't believe in this, but my wife asked me to ask you. You see, my wife says she sees someone looking at her at night while we sleep, a man in the corner. Did you ever see anything?" Holy I thought. I quickly replied no, ran to the car, apologized to my wife, and have never been back since. To my knowledge, no one ever died on the property or anything to account for it, but I am a true believer now.
Thanks for listening to our favorite scary stories from the past 2 years. Make sure to follow and acquire taste on all things social because we have exciting updates coming for you soon. Until next week, stay
stay spooky.